one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do not have any additions to the agenda. I consider a motion to accept the agenda as stated.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We need a motion to approve the prior minutes from our meeting and budget hearings. If I could have a motion to that effect.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion on those minutes? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, Billy, we'll move on to you and Rio Verde, an update on activities.
Good morning. You guys done my activity list? What we're up to and everything? I don't know if you have any questions on forward from the explanation. Clean cow farm system, basic maintenance. So if you have any questions.
Any questions for Bill?
The only thing you got us through is to get that
bridge done up on Orchid Hill, and that's just a cost. And then I do, we have been keeping track of the boat ramps, traffic counts, and I got, and I think they're, you know, they'll probably go up a little bit, but I'll just give you them so you know what the bridge came in. I told you guys 2,000, it came in at like 2,600, but.
On like the Cottonwood projects, one thing that I've got feedback on is from local contractors about the bonding. That's hard to, for the projects that much to come up with that, be able to get bonding. I don't care if you can explain on that one more.
Yeah, a lot of the local contractors, like our phase one, it was just too big of a project for them to bond. So on phase two, we may have an option of splitting phase two into two phases, and that might give the local contractors a better chance of being able to put a bond to it. But I really won't know that until I do a design to kind of run the numbers to see where a good breaking point would be. That's something for you guys to think about if you want to put phase two into two separate projects. You may have a better chance of a local contractor getting that job.
Mr. Chairman, I really think that would be a great idea to at least give them a chance.
Yeah, because it will. That one's probably going to be pretty close to the 2.5 of the full stretch, but if we split it in half, it might be right in that range.
two-year project instead of one?
Yeah.
Yep. I think with the economy the way it is, that would also be a benefit.
Stays along the ridge, and then the third part will be where it drops back down next to Cottonwood Creek and finish that stretch off last.
So the first part of phase two is what you're talking about.
Yep.
This year. How would that impact the budget request, Billy, if we did that?
Well, we budgeted it for the whole phase two.
Right.
This year.
So that would just carry over?
Yes, we get our bids and then we see where they were at and we know how much we would need for phase three based on the numbers for 2022.
And phase three is really the second part of phase two.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, I'm just worried about, you know, if we keep the total project cost in mind and by splitting it up and putting it off to another budget here, then we don't end up having budget creep or, you know, price going up or whatever.
Yep.
As far as the idea of splitting it off for the contractors to have a better opportunity of that, I'm totally in favor of that. I just think we need to be mindful about the total cost because it's going to look good this year, but I want it to look as good next year.
Sure. Right.
So, Mr. Chairman. Is that mine? Must have been.
It's a combination of all of them. I'll just turn it on back to you.
Okay, so phase one and phase two, can that be completed by fall or not?
No, phase one will be done this year. The phase two will send out to bid this fall so we can start next spring.
Okay.
But it's in this budgeted.
I think we need to be sure that we change the designations because we're now going to phase three instead of phase two of or part two of phase two. So yeah, we just need to get that terminology correct. If we split, which seems to be the commissioners are in agreement on that, then we'll have a phase two and a phase three instead of part one and phase two.
Yep.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Okay. You got direction then.
Okay. And then I'll just project update on Cottonwood. They're still working on pipes, but they're starting to fill in. They're blading the topsoil and starting to fill in the road. So progress is getting made. They've been having some issue with a lot of out-of-state traffic with campers and everything. So got the building. We got some signs put up. It just said no through traffic 11 miles ahead. So locals can still use it. Hopefully these out-of-state guys will go around and tie into Horse Creek wherever they're going on the other route. But the only thing is they just have some delays when they're putting those culverts in that the people have been upset about. So we're working through that. And the South Lysimeter, hopefully we get the liner in this week. And we're looking good on that one. It may not be done by the first, but as long as we get the liner in, everything's looking. Do you have any other questions for Eric? Aaron C. Baker, somebody that don't know me, put together plans for the Paradise Road erosion stabilization project. We had our mandatory pre-bid meeting last week. We had two local contractors show up and then a contractor from another county. And we got one bid yesterday at bid opening. That bid is from Avail Valley Construction, Wyoming, out of Acton. It's the same company that's working on the Cottonwood Ryegrass project right now. Their bid is for $744,900. That does fall within that budget of $770,000, I believe is what Mike told you. And I talked to the project manager, Jeff Kilroy. He's going to have Ryman Corporation do the sheet piling. They're the really only ones in the state that does a lot of shoring, piling. This project was put out locally in the paper and also to Bid Center in Casper that a lot of contractors subscribe to by Wyoming and also gets down to Colorado. I had some interest from a geotech firm in Colorado, so I know they were seeing it too. They had a set of plans, and but I did only get one bid from the Vail Valley, and I recommend that you award it to the Vail Valley. I don't. Their sheet piling number is reasonable. This is a tough time of year to bid a project, so some of the items are a little bit higher in unit price, like the concrete work. You try to get some local guys to do it, and there's enough private work out there that none of the local guys really were interested. So he might have heard something from out of town to do it. That's all I have. So
what questions? Mr. Bassman.
Mr. Chairman, Aaron, could you briefly explain what that fix is for that wash project? I've seen it. I drive by it all the time, and it just blows my mind that it costs $700,000 to fix that new wash.
Yeah, so what was in there before, Joel, is there was some, it looks like 2 or 3 inch wide by 10 inch wide, wood pilings, and I don't know when they went in into that area, but so they drove wood pilings as deep as they could in that sandy material. And over time, what happens there is that the water leaves the road like you want water to, but in that particular instance, with the water leaving the road, it's finding all those little ravines that lead off down into the New Fork River, and that creates head cut along that steep embankment above the river. And that's happening from the top of the where the guardrail is all the way down to essentially the game of fish boating access. So in order to fix it, that little wash, we need to put sheet piling in there. And we need to start above that wash area. And it's not cheap to bring a pile driver in to install that sheet piling, so we want to make sure we put enough in, essentially down road of that wash area, so if it starts to slough again, we already have that in there. So we're not just like putting 20 foot in, we're going to put 200 feet in, because there's evidence where that it's already sloughing, I guess you'd say down the road of where it is right now, into the roadway. So we're going to put 200 feet of piling in to hopefully prevent a future problem. Right. And then we're putting in curb and gutter on that road. So we're going to cut the road off a little bit, make it a little narrower. It's over 30, I think it's 34 feet wide right now, so it's plenty wide. So we're going to take 5 or 6 feet of that pavement off and put a curb and gutter there and force the water all the way down to the bottom of the hill so it doesn't drain off the embankment and keep causing problems on the riverside of the guardrail. And so that's the bulk of the cost is the sheet piling work to do. There's a really bad ravine cut towards the head of that guardrail, and we're going to put some riprap on the toe of that ravine. So it's about 45 foot, the river's about 45 foot below that.
Straight down.
Yeah. So what's happening is on the other side of the guardrail, all of this water's draining and draining down there, and it just keeps draining down all the way down the river, and it just keeps eroding and eroding and head cutting that top end. So we're going to put some riprap in the toe of that, try to keep the river from washing a lot of that loose material that's in that ravine. That's about the only thing we can do is just try to shore that up a little bit and then force that water to the road. Keep it on the road and take it all the way down to the bottom of the hill.
Well, thank you for that. That helps, because when you drive by, you just see that one deep ravine. And so you'll put piling all the way down the length of that guardrail.
Yeah, we're going to start about 30 feet like up road of that wash, and then go through that wash area where it's caved out the road, and then take it down about another 170 feet. Because it's eroding pretty good. It's a really steep hillside there, and there's evidence of it just sloughing off right now. You can tell it's kind of losing its toe underneath it. So if we're going to bring in a sheet piler to do a little bit, and there's only really one company that does that, let's do enough right now, and hopefully it just prevents a problem in the future.
Okay, thank you.
And what you said was the actual bid price came in under the estimated project cost?
Yeah, the Mike City proposed at $770,000 for the budget cost.
It's on that sheet.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So we're going to need to move now to accept that bid.
Yes. Yes, that would.
And what is
your next move?
Yeah. Who's the bid company?
It's a Vail Valley Construction.
Vail Valley. Okay.
You want to?
Do we have a motion to accept this bid from Vail Valley Construction on Paradise Road Erosion Stabilization Project?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the bid from Vail Valley Construction to the tune of $744,900 for the stabilization project.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, if I may ask a question for the force account, will that be used in your opinion?
I hope it doesn't be used.
So there is a chance, if you would, that this thing may in fact come under, well, $30,000 less than what the actual bid is.
Yeah, there's always that chance, not using all the force account work. That force account money there is nice to use if you need a little more concrete here or there, it gives us some flexibility. And then also with the sheet piling, that's, you know, we're specifying we want at least 30 feet, but there's also a chance that we may not have all 30 feet depth before we get some hard sandstone in there. So yeah, there's a little built into the job.
Wiggle room, in other words.
A little wiggle room for that.
Any other questions or discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, carries.
This is the carries we decided to get the contract on.
For the record, I'm Lou Gage. I'm a resident up at Boulder Lake Ranch, and I just want to come down today and tell the commissioners that the community up there appreciates all the work, effort, expense, and so forth that the county puts in on the Boulder Lake Road. It's that road, when we first went up there over 30 years ago, it was a hazard to drive, but it's in such good condition now. We're working on it at the moment up there and to maintain it. About 15 years ago, roughly, the county started really improving that road, and I can tell you that there's a lot of traffic on that road, and it turned it from an unsafe road and something you didn't want to run your good car over into a good road now. The only bad feature is since the road got better, the fishing is not as good. And I told Butch Kenton that one time at one of these meetings that the road was in such good condition that ever since he had started making it in good condition, that the fishing wasn't as good. He assured me that he'd be able to make the fishing good again. So I believe me, the people up there at Boulder Lake and all the users of that road appreciate what the county is doing.
Thank you for your presence and thank you for your comments. We appreciate those.
We'll be back again next year to let you know the same information.
Good luck, fish.
Mr. Chairman, the man that's responsible for that is sitting right here.
Yes.
Right there.
Anything else for Billy or Road Bridge? If not, I guess we'll move on to that gap.
See you guys. Thank you.
See you.
Here, Matt.
Oh. Testing. I don't think we're getting
it. Probably not. We're just going to have to speak loud.
My voice carries, so
yeah.
I don't know what happened to us.
Okay, Matt, you have several items.
Okay, good morning, gentlemen. First item on the agenda is the Centennial Committee. So I'm happy to report we've had some pretty significant interest in volunteers serving on the committee. In addition to the members of the current committee, which are Todd Brown, Clint Gilchrist, Mary Langford, Tim Thompson, and Debbie Wosijas, we had two additional members of the community express interest in serving on the Centennial Committee. And if you remember, the Exploratory Committee was the first committee that was established to sort of set the parameters for what the committee was going to do, spending priorities. And then moving on to the Centennial Committee, that is the committee that will be charged with the actual planning of the event, all the logistics. So I would recommend to the commission that, and I can read the names again, carried for the record, but it's Todd Brown, Betty Fear, Clint Gilchrist, Mary Lampert, Janet Montgomery, Tim Thompson, and Debbie Wosijas be appointed to the Centennial Committee through the end of 2023.
And we have a recommendation from Matt on these committee members. Do I have a motion to that effect to accept these members, as mentioned, as members of that Summit County Centennial Committee?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Other than I would like to say to the committee members, thank you for your willingness to participate in this project and put the time and effort into it. Like we have a good committee and look forward to the fruits of your labor. So thank you very much. If there's not any other discussion, we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The second order of business for the Centennial Committee is appointing the committee coordinator. As you'll recall, we went through an RFP process. We received one bid. It was from Mindy Kraft, who works for Western Horizons Consulting. The Exploratory Committee had a Zoom meeting with Ms. Kraft, and the recommendation is to move forward with her proposal. It's a viable proposal. She has proposed to charge $35 an hour, not to exceed $70,000 for a 30-month contract. Mary Langford is here as the chairperson of the Exploratory Committee. She can answer any questions you may have additionally, but again, I recommend that the commissioner appoint Western Horizons Consulting as the committee coordinator and enter into a contract, $35 an hour, not to exceed 2,000 hours, for a $70,000 total amount. a 30-month contract, and they would like to begin work July 1st of this year. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the commission has.
Well, I'll take a question for Mary. With that contract amount not to exceed $70,000, how is that going to fit into your budget in terms of what we talked about at the budget hearing?
Mr. Chairman, if you'll recall, our budget request was for $100,000.
Right.
I believe, as far as the contract that was proposed, I don't know if we have 2,000 hours worth of work. Really, we aren't going to know that until we get into the process after the committee meets and gets to work with Mindy. So I think we've got some flexibility there. But the other part of that is also is we've got flexibility in that budget. The committee, again, will determine there were some events there that we pretty fully funded. We've got some flexibility in the budget, and we're satisfied that we can accommodate the contract if we do need to use $70,000. We also have some ability to partner with some other folks, so I'm not worried about the money at all.
Okay.
I would recommend to you guys not to be worried either. We'll make sure we stay within our budget.
That's all I need to hear. Thank you. Any other questions for me?
That was the
big one. Okay, I would entertain a motion then to contract with Mindy Crabb and Western Horizons Consulting as the Centennial Committee Coordinator.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
And July 1 is right around the corner.
Okay, second agenda item is the Forest Collaborative Agreement. This is something that Commissioner Bausman had tasked me with pursuing. Essentially, what the agreement states is that the county will contribute $5,000 to be matched by the Forest Service to work with our federal government partners and other local entities, the Conservation District probably being the most relevant of those agencies, to develop projects on the forest for management, health, fitting, and this collaborator will essentially act as not the mediator, but will run the meetings between the Forest Service and the local government entities. Again, it is a $5,000 contribution from the county to be matched by the Forest Service for a $5,000 for a $10,000 total amount. Clayton, the county attorney's office, has reviewed it, and he didn't see any legal issues or concerns, but I'd be happy to answer any questions the commission might have about the substance of the agreement.
I don't know that I can understand the language in here enough to ask a question. It is kind of a lengthy document, and it's, I'm going to say, over my head. But I understand the principal concept in terms of what we're doing and what we're contributing. So,
it's a 24-page agreement for $5,000, so it might be.
Yeah, how many hours is that page? I got you. So, anybody?
I'm like you. 26 pages.
So, Clayton has no problem from the former content. You've reviewed the content, and I guess it accomplishes what we set out to do in terms of trying to establish a facilitator agreement.
I'm comfortable with the agreement.
Okay. That being heard, Chad, you want to? Okay. I would entertain a motion then to accept this contract for between Sumner County with this collaborative facilitator.
So moved.
There a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Now we have the Discovery Center.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So Clayton has prepared the lease agreement between the county and the Discovery Center. It runs through fiscal year 2021. It's a dollar for the entire year. I talked to Allison Bogiano, who's the director over there at the center. This is the route that she wanted to take for the upcoming year. I asked her about potential purchase, and she just, understandably so, was a little hesitant to commit to that process given the current economic climate. So this is the agreement that the Discovery Center has expressed interest that they want to pursue. It's already been signed by the chairman of the Discovery Center board. Again, Clayton has prepared it and reviewed it, has no issues. So I guess I would ask the commission for a motion to approve the lease agreement with the Discovery Center.
Is this similar to a lease agreement we've had in the past?
Correct, yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the lease agreement with the Discovery Center.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
To stay here just because the commission had questions about the state-funded road and bridge account, which has approximately $9 million, correct? So being that it is state money, it does come with some stipulations. The first and foremost are any project over $50,000 must be competitively bid, and the bid must go to the lowest amount. So the commission has no discretion in that regard. The second major bullet point is that there are certain types of road and bridge projects that are eligible to be used with the funds. New construction on new alignment, reconstruction on existing alignment, resurfacing and preservation on existing alignment, safety improvements, and then there's another catch-all phrase. But I just wanted the commission to be aware, and Billy and Clayton and I have talked about this topic too, it's absolutely a viable source of funds to use for road and bridge projects. We just need to make sure that we jump through those specific hoops to use the money, but I would absolutely recommend if the commission has projects in mind in the future, this fund can be used, given that we adhere to those stipulations.
And that's, I think, what we were interested in. I think the discussion for us looking forward to this year's budget with these capital projects are going to have to come out of reserve accounts. I would like to know which ones, if not all of them, would qualify out of this account for our consideration when we move forward with adopting the budget. Does that make sense, Gary?
So if there's any other further research that the commissioners want me to do, again, I sent out the manual with the conditions, but I'm happy to work with Billy, Clayton, and Gary to if, you know, if we can come up with a list of capital projects for future funding, and this money is sitting there, the county can use it. We just have to make sure that we adhere to those conditions.
Well, it makes more sense to me, since this is earmarked particularly for roads that can only be used as such, that it would be the go-to account that we would use for capital projects involving roads, including the ones we just discussed. So, yeah, I think the direction would be if you could work with Billy and Carrie in that regard, so when we come to approving our budget and coming to look at the accounts that we're going to be digging into to pay for the capital projects, that the ones that qualify from this account for road and bridge that would be using those monies.
Well, if there's any other questions or concerns the commission has, reach out to me, and I'm happy to explore those, but we'll definitely put that up here.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Victor.
I don't remember the exact amount, but it seemed like that was a significant amount of money in that account.
$9 million.
How many?
Nine million. Approximately. Yeah. Okay, and final agenda item, the commission also during the budget process asked for a update on the Harris Radio project. Shad is here. We also have a new project manager on the project. So I guess I will turn the floor over to Chief Cooper and forget Jeremy's name, what's the right call?
Carrie's gonna create a Zoom meeting. The gentleman who's joining, his name is Mike Miller. He's the CEO and president of Raycom. Raycom is a large communications company that Harris has brought in to finish up the remainder of the build-out of the Sears, the Sublet interoperable radio system, and complete the installation of the repeaters at the mountaintop tower sites and make the connection to WildLink work and finalize the remainder of the details to finish this project up. So with that, I'll hand it over to Mike Miller. He's got a short PowerPoint presentation that he'd like to present to the commissioners and summarize the current status of the project, the accomplishments so far, and the plan for the remainder of the summer to finish the last of this project up.
Not sure if he's there yet.
So he texted me a moment ago, said he was on the Zoom meeting, so let me...
Oh, he went to the other one, probably.
I'm sorry, what?
He went to the Zoom meeting and not the Zoom webinar.
Oh, so you need me to, do you want me to call him and make sure he drops out of one and joins the other? Mm-hmm.
Hey there, Mike. Hey, we're here. We're trying to get you on the screen. Let me hand the phone over to Carrie. She said that you're in the Zoom meeting and you need to be in the Zoom webinar, but I'm not sure what that means. So, hold on. Here's Carrie.
Sorry. Hi. I sent you another invitation for the webinar, so that's how I can let you share your screen. Just a few minutes ago, about 9 o'clock. No, let me see if I can invite you again. You guys want to take a little break while I get him on here?
Sure.